This is KDNK. Hello and welcome to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. This is our monthly youth news show. My name is Stacey Stein, and students from Aspen High School who are in the middle of their Experiential Education Week join me in the KDNK Broadcast Learning Center. This group is following the fork and studying the Roaring Fork River watershed. Welcome, everyone. Will you guys introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Davey, and I'm a sophomore at Aspen High School.
Hi, I'm Colton, and I'm a junior at Aspen High School.
Hi, I'm Allie. I'm a freshman at Aspen High School.
Hi, I'm Jacob, and I am a junior at Aspen High School.
Hi, I'm Greta, and I'm a freshman at Aspen High School.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a freshman at Aspen High School.
Hi, I'm Lauren, and I'm a freshman at Aspen High School.
Hi, I'm Marcus, and I'm a freshman at Aspen High School.
Hi, I'm Luca, and I'm a freshman at Aspen High School.
What have you guys been doing this week?
We have been learning about watersheds from the, watershed that comes into our Roaring Fork that goes into the Colorado River.
I'm Luca, and this week we've been learning about, as Davey said, a lot about the watersheds and also about a lot of the human waste and how it's brought about and a lot of the natural filtration systems in Aspen, Colorado.
This is Lauren. We've also been learning about the water diversions that bring water from here in the Roaring Fork Valley to Denver.
What's been a highlight for you so far?
I think touring, I'm Colton, by the way, I think touring the waste treatment plant was a very interesting experience. It was very eye-opening to see where all of the, anything that goes down the toilet goes there, so it was cool.
Hi, and this is Luca. One of the highlights this week, for me at least, was when we went rafting on Monday. It was a lot of fun. We went down to Glenwood and dropped in at one of the power, or the Shoshone power plant. And there we dropped the rafts in. We rafted for a few hours, and the first about half an hour was a lot of fun. We were in rapids, and that was a great experience.
Hi, I'm Marcus. Getting able to go up to the Independence Pass and the tunnels and getting to meet some really nice people who run those tunnels and just getting to see how our water gets diverted to Denver.
This is Greta. I really liked today when we went to one of the tunnels and we got to see at the very end of the tunnel, we could see a little pinpoint of light for where the end of the tunnel was. And that was pretty cool because you could see it was like 50 miles, I think. And, four.
What experts have you met with this week?
This is Luca, and this week someone that we met with was April Long. She was part of the conservatory, I think, in for Aspen Water Rights, I believe, or at least part of engineering in that sense. We met her at John Denver Park, and she talked to us for a while about a lot of the way things worked and what CFS was, cubic feet per second, and whatnot.
Hey, it's Davey. We met with Liz, who was from the waste plant, and she brought us around how they control the waste that goes into their plant and all the bacteria and stuff and how they air it out. And she's pretty cool. She's a tough girl. That was an interesting experience. I'll never forget that.
Hi, it's Lauren. Today we met with people who lived up at Grizzly Reservoir, and they take care of all of the different diversions. And so it's cool because they know a lot about all the water and why it's moved all around Colorado.
What kind of careers are there surrounding the topic of water?
This is Luca, and some of the main careers that we were at least taught about was very largely about engineering and agriculture and civil engineering, and also with lawyers with them. And also in a couple of days, or actually on Friday, we will be meeting with some water lawyers and learning about their jobs and what they have to do.
This is Davey. There are also water lawyers who control the water rights, and there's senior and junior water rights, and control how many people get water. And we're we divert 80% of the water to 20% of the water, right? 80. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we divert that to the western to the Denver area. Okay. And they get to have that water. So you, the people who divert that stuff is a job for water.
What's something that you have learned so far this week?
This is Luca again. This week, something that I've learned was that on the Great Divide in Colorado, on the eastern side, or on the Front Range, we have 20% of the population. I'm sorry, 80% of the population and 20% of the water naturally there. And then on the western side, it's the opposite. We have the other 20% of the population and 80% of the water. And something else that we've definitely learned is that every day 600 people are moving into Denver, which is somewhat creating a problem because they're taking a lot of our water in a certain sense, and so there's definitely some conflict there.
This is Lauren. We also learned how to keep the water clean in the river. So in Aspen, in the John Denver Park, they have natural filtration systems which clean out the sediment and other debris from the water, and no one really knows that it's there because it's all stuff just built into it. So it's cool to see that. And because Aspen is one of the first towns that gets the snowmelt from Independence Pass, it's our job to keep it clean before it goes to the other towns.
Okay, so here's a fun fact. This is Davey, and fish didn't actually get water rights or rights to the water until 1987. So fish have rights too, guys. Fish are people too. So yeah, from 1987.
Have you guys been analyzing data this week?
At the Water Treatment Center, we saw some graphs that showed the different amounts of water that they get depending on the time of day, or like if it's a holiday, there might be more flushes because people visit Aspen on holidays.
This is Lauren. Tomorrow we're also looking at data for the river in Aspen, so like the speed it's going and temperature.
What skills or knowledge have you used or have you applied from your other classes at Aspen High School as you've been learning about the watershed this week?
This is Luca. This week we've been learning, I find that math and geography have both been things that have played a lot, some large roles in the sense of when we met with April, we had to figure out some sentences, we had to figure out cubic feet per second at John Denver Park, and it turned out that at the moment it was around 33 cubic feet per second, and yeah.
Does anyone else want to share how they've applied some of the other things they've been learning in school?
This is Lauren. And as Luca was saying with geography, it's good to know about all the other tributary, like creeks or rivers that go into the Roaring Fork, then they can go into the Colorado. So it's good to like know geography about where these places are.
Where does the water come from in the Roaring Fork River?
Hi, it's Marcus. The water in the Roaring Fork River comes from Independence Pass. Snow melts, and it just flows down our watershed and flows into the Roaring Fork River.
This is Luca, and to add on some of what Marcus said, yes, a large portion of the water does come from up Independence Pass and around our watershed, but some other, we have several other creeks that compute to the Roaring Fork River, such as Castle Creek, Maroon Creek, and the Frying Pan.
How would you describe the quality of water in the Roaring Fork River and those other creeks?
This is Davey again. The water in the Roaring Fork is like very clean, and it's one of the best in the world. Well, I think actually it is the best in the world, pretty much, because it's very fresh, and since we're at the top of like the Roaring Fork, which goes into the Colorado River, it's the freshest, and we also like filter it, and they have all, it goes through all these like segments that it takes like the sediment out and all of the pollutions and stuff. So yeah, it's pretty high quality for water.
What is a new vocabulary word that you guys have each learned this week?
This is Lauren, and a term that we've been hearing this week is whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting, and that basically is just that like water is one of like as a natural resource is running out, so we have to work really hard to like make sure everyone gets it, and so we're all fighting for the water.
You guys also mentioned another word, cubic feet per second. Would someone like to explain what that means?
Cubic feet per second is often abbreviated as CFS, and it's basically how much water is flowing through the river or creek. And basically, one CFS would be or to visualize one CFS, it would be like a basketball rolling down the river.
It's like a measurement. So like every cubic foot that the basketball would travel would be a second. So it's a way of measuring how fast the water's moving.
And another word that we've used quite a bit in this program so far is watershed. What is a watershed?
This is Greta. A watershed is a geologic section that shows where is all the water diverts to. So like, it's a big, for our watershed, it goes around like the pass and around the, and then all the creeks in between are in it, and then one big river that all the creeks flow into.
Hi, it's Marcus. I heard someone from the Roaring Fork Conservatory on Friday explain a watershed is kind of like a bathtub, and so the mountains would be like the sides of the bathtub, and it all flows in to one drain, and that drain for us would be Glenwood.
Well, one word I like when talking about rivers are macroinvertebrates.
Hi, this is Allie. Macroinvertebrates, are like the tiny little bugs that are in the river, and yeah.
Speaking of the macroinvertebrates, what role do bugs and other animals play in the health of a watershed?
Well, this is Davey again. If there's a big majority of bugs and fish in a river, then it usually implies that the river is pretty well taken care of and pretty like healthy, and the water doesn't have much pollution inside of it. So bugs usually like eat the pollution and eat some of the toxins, and that goes along with plants too. All plants, all of them, consume toxins, but some are better than others. So,
going along with what you said, trout, which is a fish that occurs in our rivers a lot, they need to live in cold water. So our water, it's really cold near the bottom, so that's where you'll find most trout. So like, you know if a river is cold, if there's a lot of trout in the river.
Have you guys studied any specific bugs?
Tomorrow.
All right. How do diversions impact the river and the habitat around the river?
This is Allie again. So for the diversions, some of them like go through creeks and it like takes the water out. And so it kind of like affects the habitat for the fish.
This is Marcus. I've heard that if you take water out of a river and put it into a ditch for irrigation and then put it back in that river, the ditch can heat up the water, and that affects life because it's adapt to living in a certain water temperature.
What's something that has surprised you this week?
Okay, this is Davey. So you would expect like a human waste plant to smell really bad, right? It was like really bad. Like, I'm not kidding you. It was really, like, unbearably bad. So that surprised me. I didn't think it was going to be that bad.
This is Luca, and adding kind of onto what Davey said about the human waste plant, something that I found interesting about that was how, or surprising, was how that they get 1 million gallons of liquid waste every day, and I thought that was pretty crazy. Yeah.
This is Lauren. I also thought that it was crazy how they put, like, the water that came, like, the human wastewater back into the river after it's clean, and, like, it's really clean, so it's not like they're putting dirty water in the river, because they have to follow a lot of strict standards to get it back in, but, like, you wouldn't expect wastewater to be able to put back in the river, but it's that clean.
Well, here's Davey talking about the poo plant again. You know what's interesting is when a halftime comes for, like, the Super Bowl, the amounts of water that they get is, like it expands, like, exponentially. It's crazy. And then, like, during the holidays, like Luca said, that they get, like, 1 million gallons of water. They get 3 million. So it's like when people are, like, coming into Aspen, you know, and then they flush their toilets, and then we get 3 million gallons of water coming through there.
This is Chris, and something that surprised me was how clean we keep our water for our valley, and that we keep it very clean for the rest of the other towns around us, and that they don't abuse it and they can take care of it as well as us.
This is Jacob, and what I found very interesting is that after the process goes inside the waste management plant, the water actually comes out cleaner than it does when it comes into the plant. So I found that very interesting.
How does that work? Do you know? Like, why is that?
It's really because of all the processes they do inside the waste management plant. And how they filter the water specifically, I think, is why it does such a good job.
Wow.
And this is Lauren. And in the waste plant, they don't really use any chemicals. Everything's all natural, but it works. So by the end of it, they have the actual water, which is all clean. They put it back in the river. And then they have the waste. And they are able to make it into soil. So everything is almost like reused and not wasted.
Why is the topic of water important to you?
This is Greta. The topic of water is important to us because people and animals and everything needs water to survive. So if you don't know where the water is coming from, you might not be able to get water in your future, and then you won't survive.
I think it's very important for us to learn about water because we live on the western slope where we have 80% of the water, and the 80% of the people on the eastern slope are all trying to take it away from us. So I think it's important that we get ourselves educated and know what we need to do in order to try to stop that.
This is Jacob, and I just want to add that every day 600 people are actually moving into the Denver area, and if that continues to happen, that's going to double the population of Colorado in the next couple of years by two times, so.
We call that the 80-20 split. So 80% of the people live on the Front Range, and then 20% of the people live on the western slope. But then we split the water the other way. So it's like 20% would actually be going to the Front Range, and then 80% would be going to us. So then they're expanding too. They get 600 new people, and they don't have enough water. So that's why we have to take and divert it that way.
This is Luca. And reason that I do find that it's interesting to learn about the water and all this stuff is that if we do decide to, if any of us do decide to stay in Aspen or maybe move back here in some sense, it'll be really useful to know about the water situation and the political parts or aspects to it.
What is something that you experienced this week that will leave a lasting impression on you? You guys are all thinking it, but Davey's going to say it.
Davey's going to say it. This is Davey. The conservation of water. Didn't say poo, did I?
You didn't.
I know.
You shocked me.
Conserving the water is very important, guys. Oh, do not leave the sinks running when you're brushing your teeth. Thank you.
It's Lauren. And also adding on to what Davey said, the people working at the plant, the number two things they find in the waste they have to extract are dental floss and baby wipes. So don't put those on the toilet. And also beads and face washes, the ones that have little micro beads in them, they're really bad for fish because they'll go into the river and then fish will eat them. So just don't use those kinds of face washes.
What are the top uses of water? You guys have talked about sanitation, but what are the other top uses of water?
Well, in the valley, 85% of the water is being used by agriculture. And then after that, the sewage treatment plant, the one that we went to, is the second largest use of water. And we kind of came up with a saying called number two is number two.
And you guys just touched on it a little bit, but would anyone else like to share another way that you can apply what you've been learning this week to your real life besides water conservation and not flushing things down the toilet that you shouldn't be flushing?
This is Lauren. Also, just by educating people, they will know more about conserving water, and they'll want to conserve it for their future. So when you teach them about that stuff, they'll find other ways that people haven't thought of yet to conserve water.
We have just a couple minutes left, but is it important for us to conserve water here in the kind of upper parts of the watershed?
This is Davey. Yes, because once you run out of water, eventually Aspen's not going to snow as much and the metropolitan area is going to get bigger, and we're not going to be able to divert that much water that they need because, they have some water rights there, but we also need water. So that's why we have some other, we have different plans. We have Hunter Creek and Castle Maroon and stuff that we can use if we have to, but eventually like, they're going to need more, and we're going to run out. So where is that going to come from?
This is Luca, and adding on to what Davey said, well, when, like, a lot of these agreements were signed on how the water should be shared, that was, I forget the exact year, but it was agreed on a year when the water was at an all-time high. And so Colorado hasn't seen that and won't ever see the amount of water in the Colorado River or the Roaring Fork.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. I'm really glad that you made time to stop by Katie and Kay and chat with us about what you've been learning and why water is important. I hope you have a really wonderful time for the rest of your week and take all of what you learned and tell all your friends and family about it, because it is important. Like you guys have said, we need water to live.